Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So there's no doubting the historical significance of Barack Obama winning a first and now a second term as the first African-American president. Welcome back. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. But has his leadership changed the course of history? Has it marked a break with the past, as Dr. Martin Luther King did through his leadership of the Civil Rights Movement, or as Abraham Lincoln did with the Emancipation Proclamation? Well, of course, it's an unfair comparison for any political leader in their lifetime to be measured against two legends. Yet the president has, in a sense, brought the comparison on himself, sworn in on two Bibles, one Abraham Lincoln's, the other Martin Luther King Jr.'s. Joining me now, Jared Bell, Associate Professor of Communication Studies at Morgan State University. Professor, welcome.
Good morning.
Also with us, Ron Christie, Republican strategist and Takeaway contributor. Ron, welcome back.
Good morning, John.
So, Jared, how would you critique this administration? Does it have a civil rights record in your view, and does it continue in the tradition of Martin Luther King or Abraham Lincoln in any concrete sense?
Well, first, I mean, we would have to parse out the fact that Dr. King's tradition is a stark departure from that of Lincoln. And, you know, Lincoln was not concerned about the equality of black people. And despite popular films and popular discussion and mythology, was decidedly anti-black and was decidedly opposed to the equality of any group of people with white men of money. Dr. King was from a very different tradition, was brought up in a political struggle for liberation for black people and all oppressed people around the world. And in that way is a direct departure from Obama, who has done little to differentiate himself from previous administrations, both Democratic and Republican, in terms of all the major issues that Dr. King would have been concerned about, namely racism, capitalism, and militarism. In many ways, Obama has extended all of those and in many ways worsened them and done things that even a white president could not have gotten away with.
What has Barack Obama done that a white president could not have gotten away with? And then I want to get a comment from Ron Christie.
Well, the easy one would be the establishment or the promulgation of AFRICOM, militarizing the African continent, invading and bombing Libya, and extending drone strikes throughout the African continent and Asian continents as well.
All right. We're talking with Jared Ball, Associate Professor of Communication Studies at Morgan State University. Ron Christie, how would you critique the legacy of Barack Obama on civil rights terms and in presidential terms?
Well, I think it's very interesting, John. I remember 4 years ago in the barbershop where I go to in Alexandria, Virginia, where I live, they had a poster. And the poster on the wall, it said 1954 to 2008. The dream fulfilled, and it had a picture of the president-elect, and it had a picture of Dr. Martin Luther King. I think in many ways his election and his subsequent re-election shows that America is willing to judge the man by the content of his character rather than the color of his skin. But when you look at specific civil rights issues, if you look at poverty in particular, I think the African-American unemployment rate is still over 14%. It spiked as high as 15%. There are still many issues that I think if Dr. King were with us today would say that the president's legacy in civil rights is still unfulfilled.
Would you go along with Jared Ball in suggesting that Barack Obama is more of an accommodator rather than a grabber of radical views, in the sense that he was perfectly willing to allow slavery to continue, according to Jared Ball, and that only was sort of forced into the Emancipation Proclamation there at the end?
Well, I think the president is an accommodator. I think he has acquiesced a lot of the power of the executive branch to the Congress when it comes to his stimulus bill, when it comes to his health care reform package. But I still think he is a beacon of hope for many people, not only in this country but around the world. He has shattered a ceiling that I never thought we would see shattered in my lifetime, which was the election of the first African-American president in the United States. And I still think that is an extraordinarily historic accomplishment.
Do you think that accomplishment has been squandered by the policies of Barack Obama, Jared Bell?
Yes. I mean, again, it's not a movement. It's not, Obama is not the product of a social movement in the way that Dr. King was. Obama's, transcendence of race into the election of the presidency had more to do with him being the most heavily funded Wall Street candidate in the history of presidential elections. And so his policies have reflected that and have reflected the militarist bent that has also lofted him to the presidency.
Well, let me ask you on that. Do you think that this is part of the mission of Barack Obama to be a Wall Street president, to be a more military president, or do you think he's been taken over and co-opted by something in Washington?
No, I don't think it required any co-optation. I mean, if people look more closely at his history, I mean, he's always been a centrist politician willing to, again, accommodate anyone interested in funding him. And that's why, as Paul Street and others have identified, when he was being vetted in the 1990s by the similar kind of DLC coalition that brought us Bill Clinton, they were happy that he was black, but as they said, but not civil rights black.
Ron Christie, your commentary on the DLC notions of Barack Obama as a centrist and therefore acceptable to the Democratic establishment.
Well, I don't know if I would call him a centrist. I certainly think he is left of center, given his profligate spending and some of his policies that he's adopted. But I will say this. He is a comfortable African-American politician that people in the Democratic Party felt comfortable of putting forth. He wasn't a militaristic type person. He wasn't a, quote, civil rights individual like Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton. He was more mainstream in his thinking and in his policies. And I think that's what made him acceptable, not only to the party, but of course to the electorate that ended up putting him through, not only in the primary process, but ultimately for the ultimate general contest.
Let me put that to Jared Ball. How come African Americans voted overwhelmingly for Barack Obama? What are they missing that you see?
Well, I mean, the first thing I would say is the destruction of the civil and human rights struggle that preceded this generation. The incarceration and assassination of leadership has left us a political vacuum that allows people, even like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, to be given undue credit, and people like Barack Obama to ride a wave that he had nothing to do with, and to represent a politics that he equally has nothing to do with, which is why he himself was at least honest enough to say that Dr. King would have not voted for him and would have been highly critical of him. Because once you look at the real politics of Dr. King, which are equally submerged, unfortunately, beneath an I Have a Dream mythology, forgetting that later on he would call that dream a nightmare and become one of the staunchest critics of not only capitalism and racism, but specifically of white liberals and the black bourgeoisie.
Jared Ball, Associate Professor of Communication Studies at Morgan State University, and Ron Christie, Republican strategist and takeaway contributor. Fascinating discussion with some pretty stiff criticism of Obama's first term from both of you. I'm wondering if you both agree on some level, and the idea that Jared Ball and Ron Christie are going to agree, that's a bit of history in and of itself here on this program. Do you think when history tells the story of the Obama first and second terms that he will be something of a one-off, not anyone in any particular tradition, but just a president like many others who came and went, Jared Ball?
Well, I wouldn't say he was without tradition. I would just say that tradition is decidedly in opposition to that of Dr. King. It's more of a centrist politician, a corporate Democrat, much like many of the people he brought into his first term, of a darker-skinned Bill Clinton presidency, which even extends in some harmful ways that tradition.
Rod Christie.
Well, I do think he'll become a one-off president. I think, as we said in the previous segment, that his historic nature is the fact he was the first African-American president in the United States. I mean, we can't take that away from him. But to look at him as some sort of transcendent or transformational figure like Dr. Martin Luther King, no, I don't think so. I think
he still has 4 more years, though.
He still has 4 more years, but his budgets are projecting a budget deficit of $1 trillion a year. We still have health care costs rising. We still have a lot of problems facing this country. And it seems to me his unwillingness to come and bridge the gap between the Republicans and the Democrats that only a president can do really is going to mark his second term.
All right, Ron, you first. What should President Barack Obama do tomorrow to take a step away from this centrist kind of go-along agenda that both of you have described? Ron, you first.
I would invite the congressional leadership to the White House, and I would sit down with them and say, we need to get some things done. Whether you're Republican, whether you're Democrat, people elected us to get the nation's work done, and we need to get it done today. We need to start right now.
Jared Ball, what does Barack Obama need to do tomorrow to step back into the path of Martin Luther King, in your view?
He should immediately end these wars, stop the drone strikes, release political prisoners, close Guantanamo, slash the military budget, fund poverty programs to develop a national guaranteed income in the way that Dr. King called for, get rid of poverty, make poverty and those who create it a crime, And then we'll see, you know, where we are at that point and move from there.
Given the last term, is that under any circumstance politically viable, Jared?
No, because he was not elected to do that. He was elected by the same forces that provided us a Clintonian presidency that widened the gap between rich and poor, increased the military spending, and increased mass incarceration, which is only worsening under Obama. So it's not politically viable, which is why I think we need to develop alternative parties and politics and social movements in the way that Dr. King was calling for.
Although Dr. King was asked if he would run as a third party, and he said no. Maybe that's the historical moment that really we're living here. Jared Ball, Associate Professor of Communication Studies at Morgan State University. Ron Christie, a final thought?
My final thought is it's a great day to be an American. Our transition from one administration to another, peaceful. It's just a great day for America.
Is this a day to be critiquing the administration of Barack Obama? Is it a day to force him to account on issues that you wanted dealt with in the first term, in this second term? You can reach out to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. You can post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Or you can comment on anything that Jared Ball or Ron Christie said on the program. Both of them think that Barack Obama is potentially a one-off president, not someone as historical as the two people's Bibles he swore an oath on today and yesterday, Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King Jr. You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.